Exploring and Applying the Parables, Parva Press. The Parables of the Lost Sheep, the Lost Coin, the Prodigal Son and His Elder Brother. Part 2. The Parable of the Prodigal Son. Luke chapter 15, English Standard Version. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. And he said, "There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of property that's coming to me.' And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey to a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring the fattened calf, and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found.' And they began to celebrate." The Holy Bible, English Standard Version. Copyright 2001 by Crossway Bibles, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission. All rights reserved. Part 2. The Parable of the Prodigal Son, Parva Press. In part 1, we looked at the parables of the lost sheep and the lost coin. This time, we look at the first part of the parable of the prodigal son and his elder brother. The temptation to live in God's world as if there were no God is always with us. It's the constant inclination to ignore the Lord God, his commandments and his holy ways, and so be free to do as we will and be the master of our own destiny. The Lord Jesus portrays this so vividly with the parable of the younger son, saying, "Father, give me the share of the property that will fall to me." What was he asking for? Like so many of us when young, he longed for independence, the freedom and happiness that he believed was being denied him and would be his if he could escape home, do what he wanted and have what he wanted when he wanted it and had the money to pay for it. By far the greater share of the inheritance would fall to the elder brother, and the younger son would be expected to stay and, with his elder brother, build up the whole estate. Clearly, it is most honouring to the Lord God when family members can live and work in harmony. But was the younger son unwilling to do this? Or could he see that once his father had died, life would become impossible with such an elder brother? Why wait? He might as well ask his father to settle the inheritance now, escape home, and so avoid the risk of being trapped as the unpaid slave of his elder brother. With the inheritance settled, he would be free and have wealth to do whatever he wished, and to do so now. John Calvin comments that young men, once they are determined to follow their desires and passions, are extremely headstrong. No matter how clearly destructive of themselves or of others, neither reason nor threats, neither fear nor shame will restrain them. Yet, what an affront! How offensive! Father, could you break up your estate and regard yourself as dead, so that I can turn my back on you, leave home, and please myself? But of course, this is exactly how we treat Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, in whose hand is our breath and all our circumstances. Mirroring the Lord God's treatment of us, with great patience and wisdom, the Father did not refuse, confine or punish his son. Perhaps with great sorrow he raised his share and let him go. The younger son took the share and moved far away, where he spent freely, not necessarily immorally, as many commentators assume, but just carelessly, following the desires of the moment. He was a spendthrift, a waster, a prodigal. However, the younger son's share was a definite amount, not an income stream, and so, of course, after a while it ran out. It takes effort, discipline and restraint to build up and maintain a living, and none whatsoever to waste it. The turn of a card, a throw of dice, and another round of drinks will do it. Anyone can waste money, and you can give such a person as much as you like, and they will still run out. Unfortunately for the younger son, his wealth completely gave out just at the beginning of a severe famine. The young man found himself in a desperate situation. Without money, no one cared about him. The new companions and admirers that his wealth had bought him had all melted away. He was friendless and penniless in a foreign country. No cousins, aunts, or other relatives who might take pity on him, just on his own, and in dire need of both food and shelter. He took what action he could to save himself and to save face. He took a job, but found himself exploited by a man who sent him to feed pigs. As an aside, should we or a member of our family fall into that kind of situation, we are wide open to exploitation, financial or moral, slave labour or prostitution, and can easily find ourselves trapped inescapably. Beware. As the murmuring scribes and Pharisees would well understand, for a Hebrew person to fall so low as to be feeding pigs was a terrible fate, but, worse still, was the gnawing hunger that made even the husks, probably wild carob pods, that the pigs were eating, look desirable. And perhaps worst of all, that little phrase, nobody gave him anything. He was quite dispensable. If he died, it would matter to no one. Just one less hungry mouth in a time of severe famine. The younger son had grasped at freedom and found himself in slavery. He had grasped at wealth and found himself in poverty. Far from securing happiness, he was in a desperate plight, as ultimately we will find ourselves if we try to live in God's world without reference to him. A shaft of light, a glimmer of hope. John Calvin comments that we will not change our way of life until we come to see that we absolutely have to. Under the hand of God, as he compared life at home with his present situation, the younger son's desperate hunger drove him to that point. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven, and before you I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. Facing inevitable death, he came to himself, or as we might say, he came to his senses. It was a dazzlingly clear moment of truth. He had escaped home and pursued his own desires, but now it had all gone terribly wrong. Painfully clearly he sees that he must turn his back on all that he had so desperately tried to gain by leaving home. Far from being the road to freedom, success, and happiness, it had proved to be the road to his total ruin. There was only one option left to him. He must lose face, eat humble pie, and creep home. He had no other option but to throw himself on the totally undeserved kindness and pity of his father. I would have loved to have read, but when he came to himself he said, 'I have wronged my father terribly. I will arise and go to him and will say to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy."' That would have been a clear and noble statement of his genuine repentance. However, at this point, his priority does not seem to humbly do all he could to put things right with his father. That will come later. But to escape starvation and fill his belly with bread. And so we read, "But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to him and will say to him.'" How clearly our Lord sees and understands our self-centered ways. The younger son's resolve to return home with carefully chosen words of confession may have been his plan of action to escape death. Do note, however, that our Lord is portraying repentance from a human point of view. No matter how mixed our motives, once we've been given clear insight into our true and frightening situation before Almighty God, to take action by throwing ourselves on His mercy is our responsibility and the essential first step in true biblical repentance. The place of desperate times in the purposes of God. Surrounded by pigs and husks, the younger son's eyes were opened, and he resolved to change. It took his desperate hunger to bring him to this point, but now he plainly sees that he must go home and plead for mercy. Can it be like that for us? On occasion, the Lord God does graciously use terrible times to open our eyes to see our mistakes, and to open our ears to hear His voice. He uses disappointment, tragedy, even prison, to soften our hardened hearts, to see the emptiness of our godless pursuit of the pleasures and possessions of this world, despite all their enticing promises. Pain itself can be, as C.S. Lewis pointed out, God's megaphone to call us to turn to Him. How many of us have cause to thank God for such times? Perhaps we had an awareness of the Lord God in the background, but, like the prodigal son, turned our back on Him and on godly ways, to plough our own furrow, to do our own thing. It's not until we have some desperate wake-up call, or find ourselves floundering about, utterly lost, that we are enabled to see our need to get right with our Heavenly Father, that with Him, and with Him alone, is life. And without Him, we perish. Sadly, we often want to be right with God and yet want to be so without being willing to leave the far country, without being willing to turn our back on godless ways. But the younger son was willing. He acted on his moment of solemn insight. He did not delay or linger in the far country. Ragged and penniless, starved and stinking of pigs, he began to make his way home. Certainly, I know of one young drug addict who was granted just such a God-given, life-changing insight. In an equally clear and dazzling moment, he saw his life, what he was doing, where it must lead, and what he must do. And he did it. By God's grace, he totally turned his back on that lifestyle, cast himself on the mercy of God in the name of the one who told this parable, and is now a radiant Christian, gladly working as a servant in his Heavenly Father's household. Christians in the days of great preachers like Whitfield and Wesley had a word for this. They called it awakening. It is when, by the sovereign work of the Holy Spirit of God, we wake up, or are woken up, to our desperate situation before Almighty God, our need to be right with Him, and are moved to take action, to flee to Him for mercy.